Oh, man. Brian Alcoholic. There's so many people here. Why did I drink that monster before I got up here? I'm grateful to be another meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. This program is continually saving my life one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful because, you know, if you drank like me and you used like me, it's going to kill you. That's essentially what this disease is. It's progressive. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, what happened, what it was like, and how we got out of that a little bit, share a little bit of the solution here tonight. So I was born to parents, mom and dad. I grew up in Las Vegas, and I went to, they worked their butt off. My dad was a carpenter, and so, like, that's kind of what was shown to me. My dad would go and bust his ass at work, bring home the bread for the family, and he'd have a drink when he got home. And that not only was that, like, acceptable, I mean, it was encouraged by him. You know, that's what he showed me. That's what he wanted me to do. So I started drinking at a very young age. And growing up in Las Vegas, it's pretty easy to get wrapped up in everything else. And my parents worked their butt off to put me in a private school, but we lived like, it'd be like the equivalent of living in El Cajon, but going to school in La Jolla. And so I've always felt like I never quite fit in anywhere. And I was always too cool for the lame kids and too lame for the cool kids. And that's basically how I grew up. I started using young. My first drink was when I was about 8 or 9 years old with my dad. We had this piece of land on Linda Avenue, and we cleared all the brush off. And my dad was so impressed with the hard work that I did that he gave me a Budweiser. And that's kind of where this kind of started. And it was just that acceptance that he gave me when he gave me that drink because of the hard work that I put in. It wasn't long that I begged and pleaded with my parents to take me out of that private school and put me in the public school where my friends went. And it wasn't long that I realized that all the good drugs were at the private school. And I could bring those over to the public school and be the guy. You know, that's kind of who I always wanted to be, was the guy. It wasn't long. I don't want to go into too many war stories, but there is one time that was particularly bad. I went to a concert at the Palms in Las Vegas, and I proceeded to drink a whole bottle of Jägermeister to myself. And then I was buying those, like, $13 concert shots of Jägermeister. And there was this lady that I was with, and we were kind of talking. I ended up, as we were walking out of the concert, I threw up down the front of her dress. Just like used motor oil right down her. In the stall of the Palms Theater, and the security dragged me out underneath the stall and wheelchaired me through the casino, and covered in used motor oil. It was awful. My mom's here tonight. She actually had to come pick me up and do that. So sorry, Mom. Anyways, I remember the morning after, I had probably one of the worst hangovers I've ever had, which I'm sure some people can relate to. And my dad was standing over me, and my dad was an alcoholic for 30 years. And he's standing over me, and he's like, "Son, I think you got a problem." And that's kind of when it clicked. I might have a problem. And that was years ago, because this isn't my first time getting sober. But I'm sure going to do my best to make it my last. I got sober for a couple of years, started going to certain meetings and seeing certain people. And right about that time when I was sober, I met the mother of my son. And I had this beautiful little boy. His name's Kellen. And I was 100% put on this earth to be a daddy. I know that for a fact. It's the most natural thing for me. The world is completely right when I'm blowing bubbles with my six-year-old. So you know, there was tumultuosity in the relationship, and she started taking him away from me, and I really didn't know how to deal with those feelings. That's kind of been an underlying thing. I don't know how to deal with certain situations that I'm put in, and I don't know how to deal with the emotions, and I don't want to feel them. And so I eventually went back out, and I started drinking. I did the O'Doul's relapse. I don't recommend doing that to anybody. It's stupid. But because my disease is progressive and it always gets worse, so 1-0 duels with a lime in it turns into 7, and then I just feel like a chump for drinking, you know, spending $60 on near beer. You might as well have one Corona and save some money. And so that's kind of how my disease, that's how I think, you know. God, there's so many places I want to go, but my son's my world, and I didn't know how to deal with her not letting me see him. And it literally tore me up, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I keep saying that, but I still, like, even now, as sometimes she does, she still doesn't let me see him that much. And I have tools now, but it still just rips me apart. I started drinking again, and it got pretty bad. I was drinking pretty regularly. I was driving. I don't know why I never got a DUI. I should have had about a million DUIs. I just never got caught. That's the only difference between somebody who did prison time and me. That's the only difference. I should have been arrested a million times. And I got this great idea. You know, I need to go talk to some lawyers, and I went and talked to lawyers, and those guys are expensive. Have you ever talked to a lawyer? They charge like $300 an hour. It's ridiculous. So I was like, I got to figure out a way to come up with the money for this. And so I was already in the bars all the time. I might as well start selling powdered alcohol. And I started selling powdered alcohol to get my kid back. And that doesn't even, like, you tell a normal person that, and they're just like, what are you thinking? You're not a good dad. Like, you can't do that. But in my alcoholic mind, it made sense, you know. But then I became my own best customer, and that's really when things went downhill. It wasn't long after that until, you know, again, it comes back to that acceptance. I was the best dealer of powdered alcohol. I was always on time. I had different kinds for you, and I just did that stuff constantly. But see, the thing, I identify as an alcoholic because alcohol always was a predecessor to everything else. I always was drinking first. And, you know, when it comes to this disease, man, it's progressive. Like, my disease, if my disease caused me to lose my car, it's missed its mark. If my disease has caused me to lose my job, it missed its mark. If my disease caused me to lose my son, it hasn't succeeded yet. My disease wants me dead. It wants me dead. And it doesn't matter how to get there, whether it's a car crash, an overdose. I mean, how many people know somebody that's died because of this disease? I mean, come on. And but the thing about this thing is there's a cure. And it's on the wall of our rooms. And the day that I agreed to go to treatment, 3 distinct miracles, and I'm not going to get into that because I only have a couple more minutes left, but the solution is in these steps. It's when we start working these steps with another man or woman, and the only thing more powerful, if you don't have a book, get a book. The only thing more important and more powerful than the book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a sponsor who knows the book of Alcoholics Anonymous and can take you through it and help you learn coping mechanisms, because that's what I needed. I needed to learn how to deal with my problems and not drown them out and step up as a man. And I still falter sometimes, but, you know, this spiritual malady has really kind of I've started to understand that more. Because as much as I drank, and I just had no connection with my Creator, whom I choose to call God. There was no connection. And the coolest thing about this program is it doesn't say that you have to believe in any one thing. You can believe in whatever you'd like, but find something that's more powerful than you and then can deal with your character defects. I ran to a retreat recently, and it was a Catholic retreat. Catholicism's not really my get down, but there was this monk, and he was 70 years old, and he's been a monk for a long, long time. And this guy sitting in front of me in his monk robes, he goes, God's not Catholic. That blew my mind. What? You're Catholic? He's like, God's not Catholic. God's above all that. This is just what I use to get to reach him. So figure something out. Like, you figure out what works for you, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, Islam. Like, it doesn't matter. Just find a relationship with your higher power, because it's working for me, really. It's been amazing. I'm starting to realize that all of the things that have happened in my life, that have quote, been done to me in my life, have happened to kind of bring me back in with my higher power. And he's used these things to turn me back to him and make me realize that I need him. Because when I rely on him and when I have faith in something greater than myself, my life is inherently better. And so if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, go to the meeting after the meeting. Find a sponsor who knows the book. Work these steps like your life depends on it, because it does. How many people have we lost because they just didn't get into the book? They didn't work these steps. And some of them, I mean, some of my friends that passed, they just didn't care to. And I'm here to tell you that there's a solution. You don't have to die from this disease. And just get in the middle of the herd. All those cliches, they're all true. So that's all I got. I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic.